Coors Light presents To Chill or Not to Chill. When your friend bets against your team, end the friendship. Or choose chill because you're drinking Coors Light with your buddy. Coors Light, choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We're getting you ready for the game on The Build Up with news from around the league, interviews, highlights, and more. Here's your host, Ted Ramey.
So far, we've got a scoreless tie. Shots 28-27 in favor of the Sharks, and a great duel between Vitek Vanecek in nets for the Sharks. And here comes the Ducks, and they shoot, they score! No sooner do I say that it's a goaltender's duel than Anaheim's Isaac Lundestrom coming down the left wing side beats Vanecek to put the Ducks on the board. And it is 1-0 Anaheim.
And that was all it took for Anaheim on Saturday night to down San Jose. Eventually, an empty netter was added, and that wrapped it up 2-0 in the final as the San Jose Sharks dropped their first two games of the year. Now they go out onto the road as they try and get win number one of the season. They are in Dallas today, taking on the Stars, the former home of Ty Dellandrea, and of course, where Joe Pavelski ended his career, calling it quits after a phenomenal career, obviously, and he finished up last year with 67 points with Dallas. We're going to talk about all those things and more with Owen Newkirk of DLLS Sports, who joins us now. Owen, what's going on, man? How are you doing?
Hey, Ted, I'm doing well. The weather is slowly starting to turn here in North Texas, which is good because we've been having what I believe when we talked last for the MLS game, we were having what you were having, which was a nice old close to 100 heat wave. So I believe tonight is supposed to be like 87 today. So cooler for us, but I think we're supposed to see like the better side of 50 tonight as the low. Wow. So I'm thrilled. Yes. Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
We finally had the heat break out here a couple days ago. So yeah, it's a good feeling. I will preview it for you after all the sweating of the summer is come to a close.
Oh my God.
But I was going to say, before I ask you about the Stars specifically, I wanted to ask you about Ty Dellandrea, who the Sharks picked up in a trade this offseason. Just my first impressions of the guy, you know, seems just like an awesome person. Just super nice, very talkative. You obviously had spent time with him previously. What exactly did the Sharks get?
Well, they got a guy of high character. And Ty was the Stars' first-round draft pick in Dallas when the draft was here in 2018. And at the time, Jamie Benn made the call. It was actually Jamie Benn and Mike Modano that came up and announced the draft pick, which was a pretty cool moment. And I remember people going, really, Ty Dellandrea? Because I don't think he was a household name for that part of the draft. But he was a high-character guy. He is a high-character guy. I remember, was the captain of his team in Flint, the OHL, and stuck around there even though they were going through some real big issues with their ownership at the time. And he's just one of those kids. I say kids because he's an adult, but compared to us, he seems like a kid still. But he works so hard. He puts his body on the line every play. He's incredibly thoughtful to chat with. He's a great guy to get one-on-one in the dressing room. And I just bumped into him as the Sharks were getting ready to go out for their morning skate. And that's always my favorite, if I could grab the guy on his way out to the ice rather than have to sit around for another 40 minutes and wait for them to come off. And he doesn't have as much time to talk at that point, but just grabbed him real quick and said hi, gave him a big hug. And he and Jake Oettinger are best friends. In fact, Jake actually said to us this morning, I went in and talked to him for a minute. The question was, what's it like facing your buddy? He goes, well, he's my best friend. And then he immediately grinned and said, but I don't want him to score on me tonight. And so I actually said that to Ty. You know, it wasn't an interview setting. I just said, hey, I talked to Jake. He just said he's going to love playing against you, and he sure as heck doesn't want you to score on him. And he just grinned from ear to ear. They're incredibly close, and it's such a fun bond to see. It was sad to see Dellandrea go, but at the same time, you could see that he was starting to, you know, the last year or so, have trouble holding down the job with the depth chart the Stars had. And so as much as you hate a great guy like Ty Dellandrea to leave, we also understood that maybe he'd get an opportunity to see more ice time and be a regular with the Sharks. And You know, I couldn't be happier for him in that regard, even though he didn't want him to go.
So let's now look at the Stars big picture. 52-21-9 last year, won the Central, made it to the Western Conference Final. Obviously, everyone in San Jose knows that Joe Pavelski decided to call it a career after that fact. But what has been the perspective of the team heading into this season, the 30,000-foot view, goals, aspirations, etc.?
Well, I mean, I think the Dallas Stars are ready for Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, what they really were hoping for, and that's where they're at. And I know that sounds very lofty, but when you get to the third round of the Stanley Cup playoffs in back-to-back years, the first year, it was pretty clear that Vegas was the better team in that series, and they deserved to win, and they went on and won the Cup. That's fine. Last year, the Stars beat Vegas in the first round, which was a horrible luck of the draw, because Vegas was way better than an 8 seed.
Right.
But it was a heck of a series. The Stars were the better team. And they outlasted Vegas, but it was by the skin of their teeth. Whereas the year before, you could clearly tell that they were not that team. So they get to Edmonton in the conference final after dispatching Colorado. And I honestly expected Dallas to win that series and go play for the Stanley Cup against what would be Florida. And it was really surprising how the power play went over for the Western Conference Finals. And that ultimately was a huge part of why they didn't advance over a really, really good Edmonton team. And so the expectations are just as high, if not more, with some new bodies on defense and basically the same group, minus a Hall of Famer in Joe Pavelski. And you bring in, you know, a full season of Logan Stankoven. Maverick Bourque makes the NHL roster after playing one game last year, winning the MVP award of the AHL as their top scorer. He was fantastic. We're actually going to see Bourque tonight. He will make his season debut. He picked up an injury during preseason and didn't play the first three games, but he's in tonight. And I'm really excited to see what he can do as he gets his NHL career really off and running.
Tell me a little bit about Stankoven, because last year I remember he had multiple goals and assists in his first few games. And then when it came to the playoffs, he was very good as well. And I kind of almost forgot when looking at the roster that, yeah, he made that NHL debut. That was last winter, right before the deadline. So we've kind of barely scratched the surface.
Yeah. And we actually talked about it as being kind of a deadline acquisition. And obviously the big news was all about Chris Tanev, and that was a monster pickup for the Stars last year. They wanted to keep him. They couldn't make the money work with the rest of the roster and the term that Tanev got in Toronto. So you understand why he went where he went. There's some other factors. I'll spare you the details for now. But if you ever want to get into a deep dive on Canadian tax law and Chris Tanev, give me a call. but yeah, you know, Stankoven actually still is a rookie by NHL definitions, beat by one NHL game played. He played 24 at the end of last season. If he had played one more, he would not have been eligible for the Calder. And I think, well, there's some fantastic candidates out there, and you guys have maybe one of the odds on favorites if he can be healthy. Logan Stankoven should be in the running for the Calder Trophy this year, and I wouldn't be surprised if he won it.
Yeah, it'll be pretty interesting to see. And that's just the discussion we have everywhere, right? Is just how high the talent level is for all these kids all over the NHL. It seems like guys are coming in younger than ever and more talented than ever
and more prepared than ever. Right now, look, there's still things to learn and figure out, but the amount of physical preparation in the fitness department from young players and juniors and college, the amount of skill that they carry is remarkable. The one thing I do notice with younger players, I'm not necessarily talking about NHL caliber players, but ones that I see that are more in the lower ranks trying to work their way, getting closer to things like major junior, is that they do have a lot of individual skill. Everyone can skate, everybody can dangle, but not everybody understands the team game. And so hockey sense, hockey vision still to me is the separator of the really great players, because a lot of guys can fall through the developmental ranks and almost robotically be good. But to be great and to make the NHL, you've got to have those other elements that don't necessarily translate just by going through all those practices and the skill workstations they do to maximize ice time.
So this team is off to a good start. They've been scoring goals. I believe it's 9-3 on the goals for and goals against. What have you seen on the ice? Is there any surprise to you in what has happened out there, or is it just a matter of this team seemingly picking up where they left off?
Well, actually, they've gotten better as a team game in each of their three games. The first game against Nashville, they had a four-goal outburst in the second period, but I actually thought they were the second-best team on the ice for a lot of that game. I thought they were outplayed by Nashville in the first period. Then the Preds were really pushing to try to chase the game in the third. In the second, the Stars came out of the intermission and were really good and scored two quick goals, got a couple more, and then that was the game. But frankly, I didn't think they were very good. And Jake Ottinger kind of struggled to track the puck at the beginning of the game, but really got better. And he was a big reason why they won that game, because Nashville had a ton of chances. And also a little fortunate, because the Preds hit the post four times, including twice when they were 6-on-5 down a goal in the last minute and a half or so. Then against the Islanders on Saturday, they improved. And obviously they got a shutout, so defensively you're happy with it. But the quality of chances dipped a bit, although the Islanders also hit four posts. So we had this big talking point on our show on DLLS, which was eight times the opposition has hit the frame on Jake Ottinger in the first two games, and they've only scored three goals, and that was all in one game. Well, then against the Kraken on Sunday, with Casey DeSmith making his Stars regular season debut, they really tamped down on the chances against. There weren't nearly as many high danger opportunities. In fact, by my unofficial tracking, I had high danger at 8-4 Stars in the game. I believe that I don't usually look at it, but one of my co-hosts looks at Natural Stat Trick, and they had the Stars at 11 high danger chances. I thought that was a little generous, but either way, they went from giving up a lot against Nashville, a little bit less against the Islanders, to very little against the Kraken. Part of that is circumstantial, because Seattle had to play in Minnesota on Saturday, travel, get in late. So I think even though both teams were playing their third and four nights, Dallas had been either to Nashville and then at home for two games. But either way, I think the trend of the Stars tightening up their game over the first three games is a really good sign. But Ted, I think, and you probably, we all fall into this, we start nitpicking stuff as we normally do, and then you go, wait a minute, it's only the third game of the season. Everybody's having problems.
Right. It takes time. There's new players. There's new connections, new line mates. Well, it doesn't happen overnight, even though, like you said, we all will nitpick it as if it should be. What is the feeling of life after Joe Pavelski? Because that's something that we went through here in San Jose, and obviously he was not there as long in Dallas, but clearly the man had an impact.
The impact was such that we started our DLLS Dallas Stars podcast in late August, and we talked about Joe Pavelski. He got mentioned every day for about a month, partly because we didn't have any hockey to talk about, but partly because of the impact he made. He was such an influential part of this team, part of the leadership, the development with young players, what he did for Wyatt Johnston as being, you know, essentially a billet family for Wyatt this first 2 years in the NHL, allowing Logan Stankoven to stay with them when he got called up after being in the hotel for a little bit, and just the day-to-day habits and the routines and things that he would do, the extra professionalism that he showed leading by example. You're going to see the mark of Joe Pavelski on the Dallas Stars for years and years to come. I think the Stars, I know they are desperate for Joe to join the front office in some capacity, whether it's a coaching, a player development, or some other kind of advisory role. And the door is open for him to stay with the Stars when he's ready for that. I'm not so sure Joe is ready right now, because his son is playing. He's 12 or 13, and that's really important. And Joe's helping coach that and be involved. They moved back to Wisconsin, but if he does get the call of the hockey void, which, listen, he's going to, because he's, like many hockey players, really obsessed with it in a very good way. I can't see Joe staying out of the game forever. And so I know San Jose folks will say, well, we'd love to have him back there. The Stars are trying to claim him as theirs now. We'll see what happens down the line. But he's such an incredible person, and the impact will be felt for decades.
What about the outlook for Pete DeBoer? But because he's a guy who has, you know, continued to push that boulder up the mountain, has not gotten to the complete top and won it all. But every, you know, what was the stat, you know, the other year? It's what, three straight years he's had his team in the conference finals, and, you know, or three out of the last four, something to that effect. I mean, there's nobody who consistently prepares his teams the same way. And, you know, is there any signs of cracks in the facade? Because I don't see any. And, I was around DeBoer for a long time, and he just seems like he's still happy every day, loving his job.
No, aside from having to go through an appendectomy during training camp or preseason and missing some time, I haven't seen anything to suggest that Pete DeBoer has lost any motivation or had any frustration seep into his facade. In fact, he seems as determined as ever. And I think that he's repeated this over the last couple of weeks since he came back from his recovery from that surgery, that they feel that there's less major movement and work to be done with their systems because it is the third year of this coaching staff. Mm-hmm. And most of the players are returning. Now they have to fold in the new guys, whether it's Colin Blackwell or Oscar Beck up front, Maverick Bourque, who was with the Stars but only played one NHL game last year. And then the three additions on defense with Dumba, who we just found out is going to be out for a while with an injury, which is deemed lower body, but week to week with no surgery. But they're all, Lyubushkin is in, and they have to get him up to speed. But for the most part, Pete feels as though they're way ahead of where they were even last year. And look, I know that you don't make the playoffs after winning three games to start the season, but you and I both know, and we've been part of teams where you can really dent your postseason chances with a bad start. And the Stars have been able to get off to the kind of start, at least in the first week, that they want to, which, considering their trip to Finland coming up at the end of October, they play November 1st and 2nd over there in the Global Series. And then the 2 week Four Nations break, the Stars schedule is just condensed to crazy. I mean, six games in the first week and a half to start the season is really intense coming out of the gate.
Any risk after a 3-0 start of maybe overlooking a Sharks team that is still in a rebuild?
You know, that question was posed this morning and asked, like, is this a trap game? I always think of a trap game being the first home game after a successful road trip. If you've been winning, playing well, and you come home and you get comfortable in your own bed and you're around your family and friends, and some distractions can seep into the game. But there has been that talk of, well, you've got the Edmonton Oilers on your schedule on Saturday at home. They have to go to Washington on Thursday. Are they looking way past the Sharks? And I think the answer is categorically no, because Dallas realizes, and this was a talking point from the first day of training camp, is they want to go back to game seven of the Stanley Cup, the Western Conference Final, and pick up where they left off. But they all recognize they can't, that they have to go to the bottom of the ladder and go rung by rung. In fact, that's actually something that's on the wall in the locker room, is they have to make these rungs or these steps, and they have to go through the whole season process. They can't skip ahead as much as everybody, and our fans included, want to do that. I was ready to skip ahead, Ted, after the first preseason game and get to regular season hockey, but we all understand that 82-game process, and you can't just fast forward.
I appreciate your time as always, man, and we'll talk soon, all right?
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, Ted. Great talking with you.
Again, that is Owen Newkirk of DLLS Sports, also the play-by-play announcer for FC Dallas of Major League Soccer. So Owen, a talented man and an individual I am lucky enough to call a friend, who's always happy to talk to me about the teams that my two San Jose teams are facing. But for the Sharks tonight, it's simply about keeping the PK rolling. The PK has been very good, 6 of 6 up to this point of the season. They are the tops in the NHL at this point. Obviously, the loss of Macklin Celebrini was felt on the offensive side in the last game, but I also thought that was just a well-played, overall good game. Dostal, Vanacek, they had good games. It was a fight until the final, half of the third period, when we did see Anaheim take a lead. But, the Sharks gave themselves a chance. They did not get the offense that they needed, but they were in that game and unfortunately got beat. But now it's time for them to take on the Dallas side, which is looking to pick up where they left off 1 year ago, which was in the Western Conference Final, and now make another deep run into the postseason. This is a stark challenge, but the way that the last couple of seasons have started off, it took, 5 games straight losing 2 years ago before they got their first win, and then last year it was double-digit losses before they got their first win. The Sharks want to avoid that type of a situation, and I know it's a different situation. We look at the schedule. It's not as bad for San Jose this year, in my opinion. Obviously, these are all NHL teams. They're all very, very difficult. But to me, you get Dallas, that's a tough game. But Chicago in particular, that's a winnable game. I also think Winnipeg is a winnable game. So it's for the Sharks now to try and prove that they can get 2 points out of an NHL game on this young season. I will see y'all on Morning Tide and on NBC Sports pre- and post-game coverage with Alan Hoshida. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey, signing off.
This podcast can be found on demand anytime on the Sharks Plus SAP Center app. All music by Yogi Yen.